Tuesday night on the Fan pregame Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, we've got a little bit of a Vegas vibe to our show tonight. Two NHL games on the network. Calgary and Boston will kick things off at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet, followed by the game of the season. We're crowning it that, as the Oilers go for 17 straight wins tonight to tie the modern-day record against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Jean Principe will join us from Vegas to tee up the stakes tonight.
It was another tough night for the Toronto Raptors, but they do have an all-star. Scotty Barnes and Trae Young were named injury replacements today, taking the places of Joel Embiid and Julius Randle. Maybe, or hopefully, this will give the Raptors star a much-needed midseason boost, because it hasn't been pretty good lately for Scotty Barnes and the Toronto Raptors. But maybe this will help turn things around.
Blue Jays and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are scheduled for arbitration today. We're still awaiting news on the meeting. If we get that during the show, we will let you know. If not, tomorrow will be a big day in Blue Jays land.
And our direct line to Vegas will be tapped into twice, as you mentioned. Arash Madani will join us in about a half hour from the site of the Super Bowl and on the heels of opening night.
I would have loved if we just got to do the Fan pregame in Vegas.
If there was ever a case for it, it would have been today.
It's too late. But we mentioned it. It is the biggest game of the season tonight, regular season-wise. Division rivals, Oilers, Vegas, the defending champs, who eliminated the Oilers in the playoffs last year, are going head-to-head tonight. They've won, so the Oilers have won 16 straight since December 22nd. It's pretty stunning, honestly, how they've got there. I know we can go through the list of opponents, and yes, they did not play every single top 10 team during this 16-win streak, but they have played a few. But either, anyway, it's pretty hard to string together 10 straight wins, let alone 16. So they've done a lot to get here. It's going to be a must-see event tonight, and I think there's a couple different tidbits that we can lean into about how impressive this stretch has been, like Zach Hyman leading the Oilers during the streak with the most goals. It's not just all Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, who we saw this weekend in Toronto. They're getting great goaltending, they're getting depth scoring, and they're getting good bounces as well.
Yeah, you're right about the schedule. It hasn't exactly been a murderer's row, but there are a couple things, right? Like, they've allowed two or fewer goals in 14 consecutive games. Mm-hmm. They have 13 of their 16 wins coming in regulation. I mean, it's just taking care of business, and taking care of business to a degree that few teams in the history of the NHL have been able to match. So there's not really much to knock on the part of the Edmonton Oilers. We were looking at, you know, when this streak started, all the way back December 20th, around there.
22nd, yeah.
22nd. And looking back at December 20th, I mean, four teams in the NHL, only four teams in the entire NHL had fewer points than the Oilers when that streak started. They jumped 18 teams in the standings to get here. They're clearly still, there's still space to go. Mm-hmm. But this streak has turned around a team in a way that, yeah, obviously 16 wins in a row is going to do that, but has taken them from the depths of the league to the favorites to win the Stanley Cup once again, as they were when the season started, at least on many sports books. That's where they are now, and they could be in history with a 17th consecutive victory tonight if they can beat, as you mentioned, one of their primary rivals.
Yeah, not only the sports books, but everyone at Sportsnet that picked them is feeling like tonight's a big one. Stuart Skinner should deserve a lot of credit, and when we talk to Gene, we'll ask about how much that goes on Stuart Skinner's shoulders, but he's got the record for most consecutive wins right now by a Oilers goaltender with 12. They've allowed two or fewer goals in 14 consecutive games during this streak, which is another franchise record. And the team overall goals against average went from 27th place with a 345 to 8th place with a 276. So, I mean, a lot of credit. Like, this goaltending duo was the talk of the start of the season. Mm-hmm. Jack Campbell to the AHL, where he was doing very poorly. Looks like he's turned that around. Stuart Skinner obviously had his ups and downs, but like, think about how much confidence is going on in that locker room when you're able to win a lot of games in a row, but games by small margins. They're not blowing teams out 6-0. Like, there is some shootout overtime, 3-2 wins. Like, that is just believing in your craft, believing in your team, having faith in your goaltender and some of your superstars, of course. It's really impressive. 13 of 16 of these wins have been in regulation.
And changing the way you play, right? I mean, Chris Knobloch, clearly, if we can't put our finger on it, and we'll try to with Jean Principe in a moment, he has changed things in a way where the Edmonton Oilers are suddenly comfortable, at least it seems, playing in close games, playing in low-scoring games, not having to just simply outscore the opponent as much as the wins have been stacked up at a rate that no one can touch. It's not like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have just went absolutely banana land in terms of production. It hasn't been that. It's been different for the Oilers, maybe more sustainable for the Oilers. But on the topic of strength of schedule, it's not like we can say, oh, they finally played a team tonight if they beat Vegas, because Vegas lately has been kind of rough. 8-8-1 in that same stretch since the Oilers started their run. Really ugly underlying numbers, uncharacteristic if you're a Vegas team that's coached by a guy named Bruce Cassidy, who sort of, at least when it comes to the Boston Bruins in his previous stop, built his legacy, or whatever you want to call it, his identity as a coach on strong analytics. Mm-hmm. Not much scoring. Cassidy, as I mentioned, hammered them after a loss about 2 weeks ago to New Jersey. Like, it just hasn't been the same in Vegas when it's all changed for the Oilers.
Yeah, so 16 wins, as we mentioned. They haven't played the Golden Knights in this streak. They played the Leafs, which were pretty good competition at the time. They played the Rangers. They played the
Kings.
They've
taken a dip back as well.
They played the Rangers. They played the Kings. They played the Leafs. But this is definitely their toughest test, one where both teams have a lot on the line. The Oilers have waited 11 days for this game. Their last game was January 27th versus the Predators. So a lot going into this tonight. Let's talk to Gene Principe from Las Vegas. Gene, thanks so much for jumping on. How's it going?
Well, if it was any better, I would have been the guy that just won $13,000 on a Royal Flush.
Oh, let's get him on the line.
I was just kind of walking by the casino tables, and that's actually the truth, just in case my wife is listening. And just kind of, I like to, look around. People watch Card Watch, and this guy won $13,000. He's actually from Edmonton, but lives in Fresno now. And he came in for the game, and I said, "Hey, save some of that luck for tonight. the Oilers might need it." So it's unbelievable. First of all, thanks for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure for me. Just all the fans that have made their way down here. From, oil country, like Leaf country, you don't have to live in Ontario to be a Leafs fan and continue to follow them, just like in Edmonton. And so they're just coming in from all over. A couple was flying home from Hawaii, and they stopped in to see them. A guy from Saskatoon I met, a couple guys just from Edmonton, So everybody is like, I feel like the streak didn't really get a lot. I got attention, but it wasn't that big a deal until you mentioned the break. Mm-hmm. Returning from the break, having a chance to tie, doing it in Vegas against the Cup champs who knocked them out of the playoffs last year. I mean, it's a incredible story on like various. It's like a soap opera, right? It's got all these different plots to it.
It feels like a very Gene Principe thing, by the way, to find an anecdote of $13,000 being won on a casino floor by an Oilers fan on the night that it's potentially record-setting or record-matching.
It would have been better if it was $17,000, because that's the number tonight.
That would have been undeniable. It'd be like, okay, put that $17,000 on the Oilers because they're winning tonight. That's where what you just said there, Gene, was kind of what I wanted to start with, was how much it matters. And if it didn't matter much up until this point, I guess my first question would be how, because it's something that we were talking about quite a lot. But I don't know, we were at All-Star Weekend over the weekend, and seeing Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl walk around with such like confidence, it seems like different looks on both of their faces compared to what we saw, 3 months ago when things weren't going well. And that's not to say it's like, oh, we're about to beat an NHL record or match an NHL record. But it seems like they're unfazed, and this Oilers team might be unfazed, and maybe they're unfazed by the record. But again, if they have this opportunity, I'm sure it means something to them.
Yeah, I think, what I would say, I think they got some swagger, and, confidence, cocky, right? What's that fine line? And I think they're on the right side of the swagger line because they're playing well. They had a fantastic All-Star weekend and enjoyed themselves. And came back, and I always think that if the most talented guy on your team and I would say in the league, but I might be a bit biased, comes back from the All-Star weekend and is like the first guy on the ice for practice, you better be ready, because he is, and he expects you to be. And so I love the tone set. You don't have to say a word. You just go about your business. And I think that the Oilers right now are, the fans are like jumping for joy. The media keep asking about it, and they keep saying it's not a big deal. And I think, I coach my daughter's soccer team, and I learn a lot from being around professional players and professional coaches, because so many of the things that they do that they try and teach, they try and apply also to lower level or lower experience sports. Their stakes are higher than ours. But I just find right now you've got a coach who's like, oh, shucks. Hey, you know what? I mean, he went to Hartford. His family lives in Hartford, mm-hmm. where he was a coach. And Hartford's former, you know, had an NHL bid and were once, you know, unbelievable team in the WHA. But he went to Hartford. And I'm not doing that to make fun of him. Far from it. But that's where his family is. That's where his life is. It's now, obviously, in Edmonton as well. But he has this calm demeanor. And I think it starts with the coach. If the coach goes in, guys, we got a chance to set, you know, tie an NHL record here tonight. We could win 17 in a row. Well, that's going to permeate through everybody. But I think he sets a certain standard. And then it follows through the leadership of Darnell Nurse and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, like you mentioned. So it just, they're businesslike. And I love what Darnell, I talked to Darnell this morning at about, oh, it's about noon, let's say. And I asked him the question, and he's like, that's actually the first person that's mentioned 17 wins or tying an NHL record. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you guys, I'm thinking, you mean you didn't talk about it on the plane? You didn't talk about it at breakfast this morning? You didn't talk about it at the skate? And I believe him, but that just shows you kind of the way they're thinking. They're thinking about stacking on another win, getting a bit closer to Vegas, 5-point difference with 5 games in hand. The record will be great if they can tie it and then potentially beat it. But for now, they're about beating one team on one night and just continuing to do what they've been doing. So it's a different vibe, but I think that's experience. That's not getting too excited about something you haven't done yet.
When you win 16 straight, I guess the praise can go on a lot of shoulders. You mentioned the head coach being pretty level-headed. I want to ask you about Stuart Skinner, though, because he's now got the record for most consecutive wins by an Oilers goaltender with 12. He's obviously been maybe the biggest turnaround, I guess, so far, if you talk about from the beginning of this Oilers season to now. So what's changed? Has it just been going through the aches and pains of being a goaltender in the professional hockey league that you are in, or has he found a level of confidence that was maybe instilled from those around him?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, that's what he was asked this morning. It's kind of like, what's going on compared to what was going on? And, you know, a lot of people, maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe there isn't, that, you know, the Oilers were in this building that they'll be in tonight and had a lead and lost the lead, lost the game, lost the series, and really lost a lot of hope that they had that they would win the Stanley Cup. And I've never seen a team go farther 1 year as they went to the conference final and then go not as far the year after and yet be more gutted and disappointed in that result. It was just kind of like the opposite, you would think. But, you know, he said, listen, I was partly at fault for what happened in that particular game and in the series loss. But he said, I probably dealt with it for a couple of weeks and then I moved on. And so that doesn't really answer how the season started. But it maybe does answer where he's at now, having won, you know, surpassing Grant Fuhr for consecutive wins. And, you know, the Oilers, I think it's 14 straight games, 2 goals or less, which is an NHL record. And his goals against average has now popped over 900 at a time. It was in the 860s. It's not easy to go up that many percentage points. You know, you got to stop a lot of pucks every game, and that's what he's been doing. But defensively, they're playing well, and they're just getting enough goals. One thing the coach did say, he said, you know, I feel like we were a bit gassed towards the end before the break and that we were just doing enough to win. So I think he's expecting a little bit of a burst in energy. And the Oilers, I'd have to double check. I know for a while they were near Ottawa. They're right at the bottom of the league in games played. You know, to have 5 more games by Vegas at this point in the season seems like, whoa, like where do they make this up? But they will make it up somewhat in February, but a lot in March. And yeah, it's exciting. I mean, listen, when you have a player like Connor McDavid on your team, you're always thinking Stanley Cup for sure. How could you not? Why would you not think Stanley Cup with him? So I'm really curious to see what the night brings and how it unfolds. And, you know, we'll roll the dice and see what happens in Sin City tonight.
Gene Principe on the line ahead of a potential record-matching game for the Edmonton Oilers in Vegas. Gene, I want to ask you about how this team is different, or the ways in which is different, and I wanted to compare it to originally, you know, the start of the season, because things were so different, but I guess the answer to that would be everything. So let's do the Oilers at, you know, the peak of their powers, let's say, in the last 3 years. How is this team right now that's on this streak different from that team that was getting those wins, maybe not at the rate it's at, but was maybe as dominant as they were then? Like, how is this team different now, maybe under Knobloch, but how is this team different than the best versions of the Oilers we've seen recently?
Yeah. Well, I think they're not relying on their two superstars as much as they have been, which is natural, right? Who doesn't rely, Mario and Jarmer, or Gretzky and Curry, Matthews and Marner, whoever it is, how do you not rely on them? That's who they are. That's what they're about. But they've built a much more solid all-around game. And I think, I mentioned I coach my daughter's team, and one of the things I say to them is everybody has to feel important. If you don't feel important, you're not going to give your best. You're not going to provide your best. You're not going to offer your best if you think you're a spare part or you don't really have a say in the success of a team. And I think right now they all feel important, and that was something Jay Woodcroft did. And if some of that was lost, only because, listen, you're 2-9-1, what are you going to do? You're going to lean on your guys. And they won to make it 3-9-1. And then he was, relieved of his duties. The goaltending has been sparkling. I mean, not just Stewart, but Calvin Pickard's won 4 of those 16 games. And ironically, he was actually the first pick in the expansion draft by Vegas. So he's kind of coming back home. He went to camp, and then they picked up Malcolm Subban, and he was then shipped off. But I just think they believe in themselves. When you're a team, it's hard not to panic when you're trailing, when you're in difficult situations, but they found a way not to, and believe in themselves and their system, and I think most importantly in each other. And that's kind of the background on why I'm talking to you from the lobby of a Vegas hotel about the possibility of tying the Penguins from 92-93 in consecutive wins.
So they had to wait a little while for this big game, 11 days since the last time they played. Two Oilers were kind of the big stars in their sense this weekend, All-Star weekend, McDavid winning $1 million, Draisaitl showing up, and no Vegas representatives here this weekend. I wonder for you if there's an advantage in something of this sort, or if the break came at a good time. As you mentioned, they were a bit fatigued. Did this kind of give them a chance to reset? Some of the guys go off, maybe they sit on a sun beach and they get a little rest. Like, do you have a sense of how this break might have factored in positively for the Oilers?
Yeah, I think another great question. I think that it has. We have to wait till tonight. But certainly at this point, when you see them, many of them went off to Arizona for some golf and just some family time. Cabo is a local Ontario kid there. Warren Fogle got engaged, and he's a young man that's had a really good impact on the Oilers, and part of the reason they've had the success they've had this season. Another kid, Ryan McLeod, it has been everybody, but I really feel like it was necessary for them. I believe that when you're trying to always win and you have a streak on the line, even if you're not very vocal about it, but that does, it gets kind of it taxing on you mentally. And so I think the Oilers needed it, wanted it, got it, and they'll, they'll come out firing tonight. I feel like they're as if, I don't know what'll be said pregame, but I think that you don't have to make it your top story, even though it is to us. But it is a story when you have a chance to win 17 straight games, to do something that only one team has ever done, in the modern day NHL. And you've got an opportunity to do it in a city like this against a team that's become an arch rival. I just think who wouldn't give out everything they've got and then some, particularly because they are rested, to make it happen.
Last one for you, Gene, at the risk of not making someone feel less important on the roster, the trade deadline is about a month away. which means the Oilers still have the opportunity for the next month to add. Is there an addition that puts this team over the top for you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, the one thing I will say is they've been rolling the same six defensemen for, I keep saying I'm going to check and I never check, but I think it's got to be over 20 games. They had one game in Montreal where Ryan McLeod was ill and Phil Kemp, a recent call-up, got in and played. But he really, I think he played about 3 minutes and he basically took more of a spot on the wing than on defense. So, I mean, knock on wood, they've been unbelievably lucky regarding injuries, in, you know, all over, and even illness. So I would say that, you know, I look at their blue line in the minors. They got a former first-round pick, or as people like to correct me, he's always a first-round pick, not a former, from 2018, that they think Philip Broberg, that they like. I don't know if he's the battle-tested playoff player that you want or need, or maybe they bring him up late. So I don't know. Like, you know, who do you – it's like they signed Corey Perry, right? Here's a guy been to a bunch of cup finals, won a cup, has almost 200 playoff games, and you're kind of thinking, do we want to put him in? You know, he's playing tonight, and he played before the break. But I'm kind of the superstitious type or habit of you just keep rolling the same people, and that's what they've done on defense. So maybe there'd be a defense partner out there that would give them some depth. I mean, up front, they look pretty good, and right now their goaltending seems fine. Someone might say, well, okay, do you think Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard can win you the Stanley Cup? I don't know. I don't have that answer. They've won 16 straight. Jack Campbell is certainly not out of the equation. He's down, you know, in Bakersfield and playing well, so that could change. So I don't know. The other thing is, who knows what they do in the next month. If things go the opposite way, that changes things. But if this continues, I would think just a bit of tinkering to sort of boost in a couple of areas to give you that final push before you hopefully make a run to the cup.
Well, it's going to be a really fun one in Vegas. Thanks so much, Gene, for joining us. It's been a blast, and enjoy tonight.
Yeah, I will, and you too, and thanks thanks for the time.
No problem. Thank you for your time. Gene Principe, Oilers reporter, of course, for Sportsnet in Vegas, ahead of a big one that is doubleheader for us tonight. Calgary and Boston up at 7, Edmonton and Vegas up at 10 on Sportsnet. We have a couple minutes here. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Scotty Barnes, an all-star addition for the Toronto Raptors. It's only the ninth Raptor to ever be an all-star.
Yeah, that's wild, eh?
Which
like,
is.
As much as it's like, okay, you're not an all-star starter and you're not voted in the initial
you're
wave.
You're still an all-star.
But the ninth Raptor to make it, like, that just kind of underscores how exclusive the company really is and how much the honor is a legitimate one, even if, you know, it took an injury to get there.
So chosen by Adam Silver today to be a reserve at the NBA All-Star Weekend, which is February 18th. So his debut, of course. But, I mean, Scotty's having an incredible season. The Raptors aren't, but Scotty is, averaging a career high in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals. Obviously, he's the way that this Raptors team is moving forward with him as the face of the franchise or the face of the league, if you're Darko Rakovic. Obviously not the traditional way of getting in, but I really think it's a great opportunity, a good experience for him. He's 22 years old. Like, he's going to be surrounded by All-Stars at the All-Star Weekend. He's going to get an idea of like, okay, I want to be in this next year, not as a reserve. I want to continue to grow my game to be at the highest level. He's going to go to the USA camp this summer. Like, these are just great things on the horizon for Scotty Barnes, for a young guy to see what it takes to be the best, to train like the best, to be carrying yourself like the best.
Yep.
I think all of those things are just so positive for him. So a really great opportunity. There's a really nice Instagram video up on the Raptors page where they find out on the bus that he's going to be an all-star and they all go crazy. So it's really cute.
Yeah, as much as he's taken, obviously, a big step, I mean, there's still things that are left to be desired. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to Barnes and the Raptors and this fan base and how we view him, and I'm hoping these honors help him grow into the player that, you know, a lot of his counterparts already are, especially at a weekend in Indiana at the All-Star.
All right, 2 days from the NBA All-Star NBA trade deadline. We'll have that full day of coverage, but we'll take a quick break. Arash Madani will also join us from Vegas. We'll talk about the Sphere and Super Bowl week.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan pregame, Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, only a few days away from the Super Bowl. I still got to figure out what my Super Bowl viewing plans are. I just have totally dropped the ball on that one.
You got time.
We're a few days away. I don't have like a tradition.
Yeah, that was like, I mean, not that you need traditions, but like you're just not generally the hey, let's go out and do something, watch it somewhere type of person.
I have to figure it out. It is Sunday.
What was the Dartmouth vibe for that?
It was usually quite loud.
Okay, so things have cooled off.
Yeah, I'm not in college anymore. You know, things have changed. Arash Madani is at Super Bowl Las Vegas week here. He said he can see the sphere, I think, from his room or his hotel.
It's interesting, right? The NFL being in Vegas, right? Because there was once like a bit of a, not even a bit of a, it was friction, right? Like the NFL in Vegas were like oil and water. It wasn't like a thing that was supposed to ever happen. It wasn't supposed to be in their plans. And I guess like we're so far removed from Oakland to go into Vegas and legalize gambling and all that stuff. But we're a lot of people consuming the Super Bowls or Super Bowls, having Super Bowl parties that you're not having, Ailish.
Yet.
remember a time when that was never believed to be possible. And now it seems like Vegas, like it is for the NHL, an unbelievably important market for the NFL.
Well, think about everything that's happened in Vegas in just like one calendar year. Like they had F1, they had the Stanley Cup, they've had this. Mm-hmm. There's probably 10 things I'm forgetting, but it's the place to go right now for big events. You know, Usher, we were talking Usher before.
It's the only place with the Sphere.
The Sphere, they're going to have the draft there this summer. That's another one. We got Usher lines on first song. We've got lots of props to do throughout this week. You have another one to add to your big prop board. But I mean, I also want to know what Super Bowl Media Week is like. We just saw what NHL All-Star Weekend is like. It is go, go, go. Is it like that for Arash? Does he get some time to like explore Vegas, go play golf somewhere? I don't really know.
I don't think you were there for the media day portion of the NHL All-Star. I believe you were, you know, doing more important things. But like it is kind of the similar setup where everyone's kind of brought out and you can have your chance to, you know, create whatever content you want with those who are hitting the podium. Mm-hmm. However, it is like so much smaller scale, right? Like, I don't think we'd even really understand what that media day would look like, given that we have experience at the NHL side. Mm-hmm. Like, it was done on the Raptors practice court, which is, you know, the size of a basketball court. And I'd love just to compare scale, and I guess we can ask Arash this, but how much different it really is and what the process is like. But you're right, there's so much more time, right? There's the week lead up. There's 2 weeks between games, but a full week lead up in Vegas where all these different things are happening. And I know we were exhausted after the weekend. You got to be exhausted, I would think, after Super Bowl week.
Is the Super Bowl top of your bucket list for sporting events that you haven't been to?
Not really. Not at all,
actually. You really want to go to the Super Bowl?
No, I don't. I like the parties that you don't go to. It's just like,
wow,
it is corporate, very corporate.
Okay, but like, you don't have to go into a box. You could just go be a fan.
I just think like anytime I've ever watched football in person, I've had the thought in my head of, let's be better on TV. Because it is. It's the perfect TV.
But you're watching like Jets and Bills on a Sunday at 4.
Exactly. A game that is meaningless.
This is the Super Bowl. You're
and
telling
you
me you don't really care
Usher
about the Super Bowl?
Or whatever performance is going to be there. But I just feel like there are other things that are going to provide more of the atmosphere portion of being at a live sporting event opposed to the Super Bowl.
Okay, that is a wild take.
Was it top on your list?
It's up there.
Number one?
I don't know. Let's ask Arash Madani, who's in Vegas for the Super Bowl. Arash, Justin says he doesn't really care for the Super Bowl. Doesn't think it's like a top of his bucket list. Like, is he missing out or is it kind of lame? I don't know. You're there.
He's bang on.
What? Oh, you guys are crazy.
There is nothing worse in sports than a neutral site game.
Okay, I get that. But it's the Super Bowl.
That's a better point than I made.
Advantage. Yeah, it is poser central. It is corporate headquarters. People are not watching the game, following the game. There are no fans. Now, if you were in Baltimore last week, if you were in San Francisco last week, highly recommend the conference championship game experience. But like I'm a college football fan. I have been to Tuscaloosa, Alabama for LSU Bama. There is nothing like it under the lights. but you would not find me in Atlanta for the SEC championship game. Neutral site games aren't where it's at.
Okay, it can't be all bad, though. So what is the best part of attending and covering the Super Bowl and Super Bowl week?
Probably being five steps away from Brock Purdy and just getting to ask him questions. Kelsey, the same thing. You know, getting some insight from Chris Jones into what makes their defense tick. The access is actually pretty good. These guys talk more this week than they do any week during the regular season. And you get a little bit of, you know, they get a little exasperated, so they actually spill some tea. And you get some insight into kind of who and what they're all about. You know, San Francisco's defense had a little run there for three, 4 weeks where they really struggled. And even it was Javon Hargrave today of the 49ers who said when they put on the tape of the Detroit NFC Championship game, there were dudes in that room who hung their head in shame because there was just a lack of effort at times. And so he said kind of in this lead up to this Super Bowl, the mantra in the defensive meeting room has been pursuit. Pursuit the football, pursue the ball carrier. We have one game to turn that around, one game to win all of this.
The first part of your answer was Brock Purdy, and I want to stop on that and like pick your brain a little bit about him. 24 years old. I've been so impressed. And like, but how he carries himself. Like, I don't want to think about me at 24, but he seems so mature, so ready for the moment, humble in a sense. What have you learned this week or this opportunity to get close and to listen to him talk?
Yeah, a couple of things. It's a good question, Ailish. You know, I think what's really interesting in San Francisco is that the standard is championships. Like Jimmy G and Cap getting to one, like, they're kind of irrelevant in that marketplace. Montana and Young are the legends in the Bay Area. And Purdy absolutely understands that. And he's gone to both of them to pick their brains a little bit. One of the things that Montana shared with them, he said, Brock, you don't have to be the superstar all the time. You've got so much around you. Let them do it. And Young just continues to kind of remind him, hey, man, you're on this run. You have this opportunity. It's not going to come around. Football isn't this easy where last year you got to the NFC Championship game. This year you're in the Super Bowl. Don't let it slip through. And I think when you speak to people around the Niners, Ailish, I think the biggest takeaway from your question is that you're talking about a consistent and an elite decision maker. This dude rarely makes bad decisions on the football field. And yet he's able to combine that with an aggressiveness. Like, he is not gun-shy. He will let it rip. So when you kind of put all of that together, this improbable story from seventh-round pick to starter to now Super Bowl quarterback, it's wild to consider how it's all happened so quickly for him.
Arash, you also mentioned that you got the opportunity to ask Travis Kelce questions, or at least be in his presence. If you're asking Travis Kelce questions, it probably requires elbows up, because I imagine the scrum popular around him was pretty competitive. Kelce reaching a new level of star power, obviously he's been thrust more into the limelight, but it seems like that's something he is fully ready for. What was your takeaway from witnessing the Kelce scrum, if you want to call it a scrum, because let's face it, it was 10 times the size, excuse me, of a normal scrum?
Yeah, and here's what's interesting about Kelce, is that here he is, you know, in all the lights, hosting SNL, dating a billionaire, global megastar, rock star, and yet you sometimes forget that he has rural Ohio roots. And one thing that Mahomes talks about is that, you know, Kelce during the course of the season is one thing, but that playoff Travis is different. And not just in games, that it's Kelce who sets the standard in practice and the lead up every single day, that it's Kelce who's raising the energy, Kelce who's raising the expectation among everybody there. Travis actually said this team, this 2023 team, now into the 2024 postseason, is one of the most fun and one of the most enjoyable ones that he's been around. And I haven't been sure about Travis's health for most of the season, guys. I just straight up asked him about the knee, and he said, you know, knock on wood, it hasn't been a factor since week 3. But he now has the opportunity, alongside Mahomes, to really cement themselves as the best 1-2 punch from a quarterback pass catcher in NFL history. Like, you think about the great tight ends ever. Kellen Winslow, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Rob Gronkowski. Travis Kelce, at the age of 34, is already there. And he gets a third ring. Whew. That's some rarefied air right there.
I want to switch to the Niners for a second because their motto that I saw online is against all odds coming into this. They were favored for every single game this year, right? And that's not something that happens.
Against what odds?
Yeah, exactly.
That's against double-digit odds every, you know.
Are they trying to find something? Like, what is their mentality going into this? Because obviously you're in the Super Bowl, right? But you're favorited every single game. People put you in the Super Bowl basically from week one. What are they, like, grasping at? Like, what is their inspiration other than beat Kelce and Taylor Swift and Patrick Mahomes? Like, be against all odds of who?
I think the biggest thing for them, and where, you know, you kind of bounce around to different podiums, and they're being reminded, and they speak openly of the wounds of 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Having a 10-point fourth-quarter lead against Kansas City in Miami. And one of the guys even mentioned today, there were some players in that Super Bowl who thought that game was over and that they thought they had it won. Kyle Juszczyk today said, that was one of the hardest moments of my life on what happened that day. So the sting of what happened when Mahomes and Reed and Kelce won their first one, that's still evident for those guys who went through that. So this whole chip on their shoulder, haters, blah, blah, blah narrative, it's so tired, it's so ridiculous for a team that wire to wire has been the best team in the NFC. Let's be straight about that. But I think those wounds from 4 years ago really still are being felt from the vets in that San Francisco locker room.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a big part of it. Like, if I'm going to try to explain it, I mean, if you're favored in 20 games this year, only the second time ever the Chiefs in 2021 were the only other team, like, that's greatness, right? But are we really appreciating their greatness? Are we considering them? And we shouldn't, because they're not the Chiefs. But it's like, okay, the Chiefs are great, and we haven't proved it yet, I suppose, despite that the greatness that they've shown all year and the fact that they've been this team for a very long time. It feels like maybe the chip on the shoulder is born a little bit out of that. But again, this is a social media manager that might have put that up, and it's blown into this, you know, completely different thing. But I feel like that is part of the storyline here.
Justin, let me just stop you.
Sure.
No. Justin, they haven't won a Super Bowl in 30 years. You're not great if you just end up being the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, nobody remembers who the one seed was 10 years ago, but they do remember that the lights went off at the Superdome and the Baltimore Ravens beat these San Francisco 49ers then. Greatness is when you win, and until they win,
yeah,
that's going to be the reality. It's not a narrative. What our old friend Josh Donaldson say? It's not the try hard league, it's the get it done league. And San Francisco has yet to get it done when it matters.
Well, in your football team, it's a reflection of your head coach in a lot of ways, right? And Kyle Shanahan is kind of the poster boy for not getting it done, right? And he's in this matchup against Andy Reid again. You mentioned the 10 points and the fact that they haven't been able to beat Reid, or they didn't in their one opportunity, at least in a Super Bowl. And it feels like it's almost Shanahan and not the team, or at least it's reflected onto the team through Shanahan. So, you know, Shanahan's obviously on the podium yesterday. Does it feel like that from him? Because there's still so much that Shanahan has to prove, despite, you know, establishing some standard of greatness, at least through the regular season and establishing one seeds.
So I get that there's no value in a Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown, but I have to believe a CMC anytime is happening because Kyle Shanahan has to ultimately learn from his mistakes. He has to learn from 28-3 and all that unfolded when he was the play caller in Atlanta and how New England came back and won because Shanahan, instead of running the football, decided to throw it and the clock kept stopping. And at some point, he's got to learn from having a double-digit fourth-quarter lead in the Super Bowl 4 years ago and it unfolding the way it did. He said today, the head coach The 49er said, I've broken my elbow, I've broken my collarbone. He said, nothing hurts more than losing a Super Bowl. So, what are the lessons learned? It has to be about ball control. It has to be in the red zone of giving, putting the ball in your best player's hands. And if you have Trent Williams there at left tackle and you have Christian McCaffrey lined up beside your quarterback, give the ball to CMC. Kyle, there's no need to show everybody how extensive your playbook is. Everybody knows already. And so I think this is going to be the most intriguing part of this entire Super Bowl, is how Kyle Shanahan's red zone and clock management is going to go if the game gets tight and it all hangs in the balance.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's the storyline, at least for me, in terms of like sizing up this Super Bowl, is that Kyle Shanahan's reflecting on pain and Andy Reid's remembering what the celebratory cheeseburgers tasted like. And honestly, I don't know how that can't affect the way that they coach in this game, even if Kyle should have learned from some mistakes.
Andy has
doesn't is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that is true.
Like when you have 15, it just changes everything. Like everything to me screams San Francisco. And then there's 1-5.
We're chatting with the Raj Madani in Vegas for the Super Bowl. Okay, so Vegas, like what's going on there? Star studded. You got to see Usher soon. What kind of events do you have going on? What are you looking forward to this week before the Super Bowl actually happens?
It's actually a little quiet now. Usually Friday things are popping. I'm assuming, Vegas being Vegas, that by Thursday night the circus will arrive. I've been pretty lucky, guys, over the last number of years. I did Mayweather-Pacquiao. I covered that one down here. I did Mayweather-McGregor. I've been in Vegas for a couple of major events. Usually the Friday night is a scene. It is just creatures crawling. Not just around casinos and around the strip. I mean everywhere. So we're a little too early for that, but I will keep my eyes peeled.
This is when you rest up, I guess, right? Like you get your sleep in now, you get your beauty rest, because this is it when the creatures come out.
Beauty rest, yeah exactly.
The Super Bowl being in Vegas is a story unto itself, Arash. Like there wasn't a time not too long ago where oil and water, right? Vegas and the NFL were never supposed to be a thing, and yet, you know, Vegas is having this moment, the sports moment, the last 10 years. I mean, maybe it starts in the NHL with the Vegas Golden Knights and how important they are to the NHL now. Like, how important is Vegas to the NFL now? The Super Bowl is one thing. The Raiders are another thing. But, like, is this one of the premier cities in all of the NFL already? Or is that going to take some time here? Or will you know more by the end of the week?
I think it's still going to take time. Look, Vegas is a destination city. It is a convention city. It is a party city. It's got all the hotel rooms. In terms of a Super Bowl host city, it's going to end up being in the circuit right there with New Orleans and Atlanta and Miami and the rest. I think that's pretty much a given. And L.A., of course. That's going to be pretty much a given. And Justin, I understand where you're coming from with the question. I think the importance of the NFL is just the overall sphere of gambling and fantasy that basically for 100 years they pretended it didn't exist. Like the NFL just would not even acknowledge what was fueling the underbelly of the entire league. Mm. And now in the last, you know, number of, what, 3-4 years, of course they've embraced it because it's extra revenue. Like we're here at Media Row right now and, you know, I'm looking all over the place, and there are as many sports books that have activations and media setups here with, you know, A and B list athletes coming through than any of the conventional media outlets. Mm. And that's just extra revenue for the league. So now that they're able to do it, you know, I'm looking at one over here, official partner of Super Bowl 58. It's a gambling company. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen before. So it's just more money, more opportunity for the league that is an expert at cashing checks. I think that's what the NFL might be best at of all the things that they do.
Do you have time to go to the Oilers Golden Knights game tonight? It's a big one, Arash.
A big one.
It is a big one.
Ailish, I will not be attending.
You can watch it on Sportsnet in 30 minutes.
It's a pretty good Vegas show. Even if you leave before the puck drop, it's a pretty good show before that.
Yeah.
Can't sell you on it.
Yeah,
eh?
I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Let me know how that one goes.
We will.
I'll be working on my content tonight.
Good, as you
That's
should.
That's why I can't go to the hockey game.
You're a hard worker, Rash.
Well, yes, if the bosses are watching, it'll be scripts and transcripts and just going over sound.
Yes.
That's why I won't be able to make it to the hockey game.
I love that. Well, we appreciate you making time for us on your busy week, Rash. Have an absolute blast and enjoy all the festivities and be safe and have fun. How about that?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. Arash Madani at Super Bowl in Vegas this week. He should go. It's right there.
I know. He should go.
He said he laughed when he said
there
big. And I said, I don't even have enough time to explain to you how big it is. Go watch the first half hour of the fan pregame with Gene Principe. He'll sell you on it, Arash.
That's true. We couldn't do it succinct enough there.
No,
to sell
there's too
it.
Much going on there. It's going to be a fun week. I've still never been to Vegas, so I can't really talk from experience.
We didn't get to ask him about Usher's favorite song.
Oh, we got lots of time.
Or his favorite Usher song, excuse me.
Usher's favorite song.
Would his favorite, though, cash a bet for us?
Okay, so quickly, we'll go through some best bets here. But, of course, prop bets will be galore through the next couple days. Always picking the first opening song for the Super Bowl is a fun one.
This is one of your plays?
This is what I like.
Like, your inherent knowledge of music and, like, production gives you, I think, a leg up here.
What does that mean? Okay, so...
What do you mean, what does it mean?
I don't have any inherent knowledge of production. I like music. So Usher's got a bunch of great songs.
Concerts.
That's true, actually.
Song order, set list order.
Okay, so set list order is important because you don't want to start... Oh, maybe you do with your banger, but maybe you want to, like, warm people up, or do you want to start with a... fast-paced song, or you want to save your best one for last. So the odds right now for Usher's first song, yeah, you know that song, plus 225. So that's what they think will be the first song. I think he's got to save that one because that's the one that everybody knows. Like, you want to get into that near the end. You want everyone to be already in their seats, like watching on TV.
First or last?
It's either first or last. I'm seeing a lot of value on DJ Got Us Fallen in Love at plus 500.
Okay. So your official pick?
It's got a good start to it. It's all about the first, like, 5 to 10 seconds. You want to get people excited. Yeah. You don't want to waste your best song first. That's my official pick.
I probably have to go through the discography, which we were kind of doing in the lead-up to the show, the pregame to the pregame.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it feels like it's got to be, yeah, in a lot of ways. Like, I think they got to start hot, and there are so many features that come out. There's always surprises, and we know of a couple, I think, already. I just like he's not a ballad guy, but he's got a lot of
ballad-ish
stuff. And like maybe there's like a melody or a, what would that be when you do a couple in a row?
I don't know. I'm such a music guy.
Well, you could help me out here.
What were you trying to say?
A medley.
A medley. Said melody.
A medley.
Yeah, medley.
You knew it all along. Medley of ballads in the middle, but like that, you can't start or finish with ballad. So I feel like there are only a couple that you could actually
got a lot of love songs.
Off with.
A lot of slow love songs.
Enough
for a medley. All right, how about some best bets for tonight? I'm believing in the Oilers. I think they keep their win streak alive tonight. We talked to Gene Principe. Says they're fired up. Not a lot of value, but minus 152 for a team to tie the all-time, I guess, modern-day win streak with 17. I like it tonight. They're going to do it in Vegas.
Yeah, it's not a great number, but I kind of like them to do it, too. I mean, just watching Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl just walk around like they are clearly on top of the world. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like these two are zeroed in on the task at hand, and the task at hand right now is at least one worth chasing with 17 in a row. I'm going to add to the big board... And I'm kind of going off Arash's pick just a little bit. I got my Bruins -1.5 also on Sportsnet tonight to beat the Flames by 2. But adding to the big board, Christian McCaffrey, 100-plus yards plus a TD pays plus 190. This is basically the, oh, there's competition for the MVP if San Francisco wins play. I think McCaffrey's going to be in the running. He's going to get the ball a lot. You can run on Kansas City, and I'm with Arash. He's going to score. So 100-plus yards plus a TD, add it to the big board, plus 190.
All right, Lindholm makes his debut with the Vancouver Canucks tonight, plus 270 for a goal. We were really good on our picks yesterday.
Pierre Engvall, plus 400 yesterday.
JT and Bo Horvat and the Islanders the win. We were giving you free
just
money.
Needed
yesterday.
The game winner on Engvall.
All right, guys. Well, that was a fun one. Thanks to our Vegas-themed guest tonight. I hope you hit the jackpot with our best bets. See you tomorrow.